So can I just read something that President Trump said yesterday in his speech? Is that okay? Pam just handed me this, so I figured she must want me to do this. He said this: "We are one nation under God. The story of America's men and women in uniform is the story of freedom and overcoming oppression. It's the strong protecting the weak and good defeating evil. There's a lot of evil out there. We are awed by your service and your sacrifice. We Americans love our veterans. We love our families. We love our freedom, and we love our God. Since the signing of the Declaration of Independence 241 years ago, America has always affirmed that liberty comes from our Creator. Our rights were given by our God, and no earthly force can ever take those rights away. Here in America, we do not worship government, we worship God." Isn't that awesome? Just want to give him a hug, don't you? Isn't that great? I was just talking to George earlier today. When we fail to be salt and light and speak the truth, and we get cowered into silence, this bad people with bad intentions, fueled by the evil one, get away with stuff, you know. And so I believe part of what God's doing, and I'm just going to talk about that for a minute if you're okay with that before we get into the sermon. I believe part of what God's doing right now in this season, or part of history of his kingdom, as he's preparing the church. And what I've seen, this is what I've seen, and I think I've understood. He has shown us in the last 20 years or so, maybe a little more, actually 30 years or so, we've seen some moves of God that were extraordinary in expressing the Father's love. They were extraordinary in that healing seemed to be coming back into the church, particularly inner healing, dealing with pain and things from the past. And in his grace, by reintroducing the Father's love at that level and the anointing for healing, inner and physical, to the church, it had numerous purposes, but at least one of them was to make the church hungry for more, because there's an end time move of the Spirit coming that will be there will be a great harvest. And one of the things that I believe we're going through as a church, and as I've talked to other people from other churches, other pastors, is there's like a groaning that started, and this groaning is this longing for more of the kingdom, of the power of the kingdom to manifest, more of a fullness of the kingdom to manifest. And in that groaning process, God has begun to touch areas in our hearts that maybe we haven't been aware of, that needed to be healed, needed to be more in line with the Father's heart for people, circumstances, situations, and things around us. Because what's coming to the church is a restoration of relationship, first and foremost, with the Holy Spirit, and therefore with the Father and with Jesus. And because of that, it would be horrifying to us to have that occur with our hearts in the same condition they are right now. Not because God would reject us at all, but I believe it's because we would be so grieved over how we've grieved the Spirit, and how we would be grieved at our spiritual maturity level and the state that we're in. And so I believe with my whole heart that for our little church, he's been prepping us for a move of the Spirit to come through retraining us to know what the gospel truly is. That's why we spent so much time in Romans looking at what Christ bought and paid for, what the blood bought and paid for, and getting a proper theological perspective, but also a faith in what the cross means, not only for salvation, but for deliverance and healing. I also believe that he stopped me from continuing to preach through Romans to lay a faith foundation for us individually and corporately that will take us beyond where we've been in our expectation for healings and for the Spirit to move. And so this morning I want to, it's interesting, we sang Our Father Who Art in Heaven. I want to look at Luke 11, verse 2, it says, "So he said to them, when you pray, say, 'Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven.'" And what I want to say to everyone is that, and just by way of review, because we kind of hit on this last week, is that the kingdom will come on earth as it is in heaven as we pray and as we move into the next realm of faith, the next level of faith that the Spirit of God's prepared for us. There's an interesting Hebrew word for salvation that means, we pronounce it Yeshua, but it means being saved from death or saved from the tyrant. And that is what we have experienced as born-again believers, but it's also what a whole bunch of people that don't know the Lord yet are going to experience. And that's Yeshua is the Hebrew name for Jesus. There's numerous prophecies of Jesus' coming and then Jesus fulfilling those prophecies. And that's not what we want to spend a lot of time on today. But Jesus, his name means salvation. And as salvation, he came to clarify that disobedience or sin was no longer to be seen as the only reason for the illnesses, diseases, and deformities that we see in the earth today. It became very clear that there was an evil force actively pursuing people, trying to destroy them. The enemy steals, kills, and destroys. So Jesus has come to set us free from that evil force, and it's way more global than a lot of believers understand or believe at this point. And I believe God wants to introduce or reintroduce our church to a fullness of salvation, a fullness of deliverance, a fullness of healing, because the cross was not limited in any way, shape, or form in the realm of salvation and complete and total healing. Now, the church has not always believed that, but the church will believe that because it's what the Scripture teaches, and we've been robbed of this. And so I want to spend a little bit of time today. I know it's going to be a beautiful day and we all want to get out there, but I want to spend a little time continuing to lay a theological foundation for us to begin to believe for more. And it's going to come through prayer, through the waiting on the Lord, like he's set us up to do. So with the coming of Jesus, we see creation shifting as the kingdom of God enters with great power to confront evil, to overcome sickness, sin, death, and the devil. That, if you read the Gospels and Book of Acts, that's what you see occurring upon the arrival of Jesus. And Jesus, and through him, true everlasting sacrifice was made on the cross for all of mankind, not just the ones we like or tolerate, but for all of mankind. The judicial process has been served. The justification for healing has been made. Jesus completed this on the cross and through his resurrection. So complete wholeness is ours through faith in Jesus. The Bible says that by his stripes we are healed, and that's not just salvation, that's not just restoration to the Father, but that made room for healing in our physical bodies. In both the Old and New Testament, God is still over all. He is still Lord over all, and the devil is ultimately under God's authority and under God's control. It looks like the devil is loose. The spirit of lawlessness is at work in our land in a big way, and it may seem to some of us that the devil is having his way, and the reality is that God is allowing him just so much room. He is never in charge. He's never in control. God is. 1 Corinthians 11 says, "For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep." There are the disobedience and the lawlessness, all the stuff that we see going on inside and outside of the church in the season we live in has consequences. And that's why it looks like God's lifted his hand in some ways here in America. I believe he's lifted it to expose the darkness because he's about to deal with it. And he may deal with it differently than we think. And we have to be real open to what that looks like. I think it's going to be pretty syrupy love. I do. I think we're going to be shocked at how accommodating the Spirit of God is, how preciously sweet and gentle and full of grace and mercy the Spirit of God is going to manifest in this coming season. So if you've allowed yourself to become offended at, you can name the categories, liberals, whatever, anarchists, you know, whatever category you might be offended. You need to forgive those people because you're going to be ministering to them. And it's going to be wonderful. I think it's going to be jaw-dropping. You got to be kidding me, wonderful. You know, that, like, I can remember back in the 70s, certain rock stars were getting saved, and we're all like, you've got to be kidding me. That's unbelievable. And then we were also rejoicing because we were finally going to have some good music. Point number three, because we're just continuing from last week. Healing returns the wholeness of the total person and his environment, redeeming all that Satan has sought to destroy. I'm going to say that again. Healing returns the wholeness of the total person and his environment, redeeming all Satan has sought to destroy. If you are living in a family that looks like Satan has devastated it, I believe it's God's intended will to restore your whole family. I believe, and we're going to pray at the end of the service today, for those that God is burdening us with, because I believe it's the prayer of the saints that will break this and cause this to occur. But I believe not only is my salvation there for my reconnect to God, but it's there for my physical healing, and it's there for healing of my entire household. Not just this generation, but the rest of them that still live. That's how big God is. And that's how powerful he is. So we have to point this out, that health in the biblical sense embraces not only physical well-being, but also spiritual, mental, emotional qualities of a person. That's why I believe God really has put in our hearts to have a church that is a healing church, not just focused on that, but that's a major portion of an expression of a full gospel church, of a community of believers who believes in the fullness of the gospel. So a person may be described as healthy when they exhibit the state of spirit, body, and soul in which all the functions are being discharged harmoniously. Or it's like this. If I wake up in the morning and I'm good with my salvation and I'm physically fine, but I'm having some emotional struggles, I have more available to me as a believer than to live in that state. If you have a physical issue, I believe the Father's bread for all of his sons and daughters is healing. And so we have more available to us than we often believe. While wholeness is possible today in the age to come, we will be completely whole and in a newly created environment. So that's the age to come is, you know, when this is done and Jesus returns. Revelation 21:3 and following says, "And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then he who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, write, for these words are true and faithful." So there's no more sorrow, no more tears. I was a kid when I heard this the first time, and I've never forgotten it, because I couldn't imagine living in eternity and having no more pain, no more sorrow, because where we live is pretty tough, isn't it? You know, my mom is down in Texas. I just talked to my sister, Debbie. I'd kind of forgotten my mom left. Two of her sisters in the hospital. One's dying. The other one could. You know, she's got cancer. But anyway, the one who appears to be ready to go told my mom, "Look, I see the door and I see the family waiting for me." She's like, "That's the door I'm going through." You know, she's ready to go, because she sees their faces, their joy, you know, all this. And I think this is wonderful for my mom to be down there hearing this testimony, because this lady, you know, they think she's hallucinating down there. No. In the coming of Jesus, this redemption to wholeness has already begun. The word for healing is often the same Greek word sozo, or salvation. Sozo means saved out from under or removed from the tyrant's power, or in this case, the devil's power. It also means restored to wholeness through the power of God's Spirit. Jesus said of the woman with the issue of blood, your faith has made you whole. That faith, that word there, being whole, is sozo. So it says, he said, go in peace and be healed of your affliction. Healing and salvation is not only used in regard to physical or spiritual wholeness, but for every aspect of life and environment under the power or the influence of the devil. When Jesus said he came to set the captives free, he came to destroy the works of the devil, it wasn't limited in any way, shape, or form. He meant the whole thing. So as fathers or mothers in the kingdom, we can have faith for God to take care of our whole family and extended family and beyond because of what Jesus did on the cross, and that's our bread. That's what we get from him. And so it makes it a little easier to not worry and be anxious about stuff, doesn't it? Because we can just claim what the Word of God says and say, Lord, I know what your word says because you made sure I understood it because you intend to do it. And then you can just lay it down and wait for him to do it. Or do whatever he told you to do to make it go happen. Because he does love to use us. And don't be surprised by how large that might be. And don't be disappointed if it's a small thing. Because we serve him. And he's the king. He's the king of glory. Healing and salvation is not only used in regard to physical or spiritual wholeness, but for every aspect of life. The destruction of evil and its impact on humanity, as well as all of creation, will end. It will cease in that day, in the next age to come. But we can also deal with it right now when it's set before us, when the enemy crosses the line. I've had a bunch of these encounters, but I had one a while back where the enemy came in our bedroom in the middle of the night, and I don't know how y'all set your perimeters, you know, your boundaries at your house, but when we got that property, we spilled oil, water, and wine around the perimeter of our house. We just, it's because we felt like led to do. You don't have to do it like we did, but anyway, we just said, the Lord gave us this land is ours. And the boundary is such that the enemy can't cross into our property, period, end of story. And the enemy's a violator by his nature. He's lawless. And so sometimes he decides he's going to, you know, do something and come and buffet or disturb you. And this one particular night, I was doing spiritual warfare in my sleep. I was actually fighting the enemy. But I woke up in the middle of it because I had a sharp pain in my right shoulder. And when I woke up and I looked to my right, where my right shoulder was, the enemy was standing there and he was poking me with something. And I looked at him and, you know, I didn't get upset, scared. I'm like, oh, it's you. And I rolled over and went back to sleep. And guess what he had to do? Leave. Now, there have been other times when I've, my poor wife, in the name of Jesus, get out of here, you know. She's asleep, I forgot. She's not now. You know, I had one hovering over her once not too long ago. Yeah, that's when I'll probably say something because I don't want to mess with her. You know, we have all this authority that we don't understand. The enemy understands it really, really well. And so we get to, when he violates the boundaries, we get to deal with him. Point number five, so in light of the last principle here, healing includes deliverance from demonic powers and their influence. Healing includes deliverance from demonic powers and their influence. In the future age, when Jesus returns, there will be no evil. Satan will be judged and driven out. And Jesus said in John 12:31, now is the judgment of this world, now the ruler of this world will be cast out, and I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all peoples to myself. So he's accomplished this in his work on the cross. And one of the interesting things about following Jesus through the Gospels is there were times when the demons just shrieked when Jesus showed up on the scene. And that should happen real soon with us when we capture and understand and by faith take hold of the authority and the power we walk in. Because wherever we go, whatever ground we walk on, according to the Bible, is ours. See, we're overcomers and we're the ones with the authority to change things. I'm getting to the point where I'm beginning to believe, because I'm getting further understanding, that we can change nations. We, through our prayer, through our being salt and light, we have such influence individually and corporately that we can bring healing to the land, healing to the people, and dispel the strongholds of the enemy wherever we go. And I don't think we think like that, like we should. We need to get that kind of faith and that kind of perspective. The expulsion of demonic forces when Jesus did this, particularly with the guy, the legion and the others, that's the most direct and dramatic form of confrontation between the two kingdoms that are at work here. There's a lot of stuff happening in the flesh. You know, there's the government of the United States and the government of Russia and the government of ISIS, although that's a loose deal. They don't have particularly like a recognized country or whatever. But anyway, there's a lot of kingdoms clashing, but there's really only two. There's the devils and there's gods. And when a deliverance occurs or a healing of the land occurs, we've done that as a church, stuff happens. You know, fish runs got restored here because of what we did. We went years of really record fish runs after the tribe, that one of the tribes we worked with, I haven't checked with the other ones, but all of their hunting grounds were just polluted and messed up. No deer. After we did this, the chief's son, Jason, told me last time I talked to him, all I got to do is walk an hour from my house, I get my deer and come home. You know, so we have the authority and the ministry to make things right, reconciliation, heal, deliver, all of these things. And the kingdom of God is broader than that, but it's a major part of what we're doing. And I think a lot of us have friends, family, people we've come to really care about who have demons influencing them at really large level. And that's today, that's what we're going to pray about before we leave here. Because I believe that these strongholds have to be broken for the Spirit of God to be able to move. And it's the Spirit of God that breaks them. And all we're doing is cooperating with him, because he gives us some seeds, some insight. He gives us the word, and then he says, this is the application of it. And I believe that we get to do some prayer today to our families and friends that we're burdened with, to see some breakthroughs start to happen. Healing also includes forgiveness of sins. Point number six. Healing also includes forgiveness of sins. In the age to come, God's forgiveness will be fully completed, creating perfect fellowship between man and God. Jeremiah 31, 33 and 34 says, but this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall know me. From the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more. There's a real emphasis in the church through the Holy Spirit in this last several years to get to know God, to become more than familiar with the Holy Spirit. Now, Jesus has taken away the sin by the covenant of his blood, and forgiveness by its nature is a gift. It's not earned. And it comes with the righteousness of God, and it makes us acceptable to God. And so here's what we're going to do. We're going to stop the sermon, because I felt the weight a little while ago come on this. And if you'd get in small groups of five or less, and I want you to look around and make sure you include everybody. I don't want anybody, you know, to be left alone. But get in groups of like five or less. And what I want you to do is share with, in your little small group, you can move the chairs if you need to. But I want you to share with your little small group a name of a person or a family that you want prayer for. And I want you to pray for the person's prayer request that sits to the left of you. Okay? So left is, if you're right-handed, is your non-throwing hand. If you're left-handed, it's your throwing hand. So all we're doing today is we're going to apply what the Word of God says. We're going to apply the blood, and we're going to be praying for His kingdom to come, and we're going to have some specific people or family that we have in mind that we want to see the breakthrough to come. And we can declare it. It's not just going, Lord, if you're not too busy. I care about this person more than you, but no, it's not one of those kind of prayers. It's like, Lord, it just feels like it's time for the Spirit of God to overcome the darkness that's come against this person. And we just agree with that. And we declare it in Jesus' name. We just speak life and light and breakthrough, spiritual breakthrough, salvation over this household and this person or these persons. And we're believing you for it, God, and we're trusting that you'll release your angels to go forth and set these captives free. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. Something like that. Okay, ready? 1, 2, 3, go. Grab 3 to 5 people and get in a little group.